Hey, I'm Kelby, and I love cartoons. If you're anything like me, cartoons and animation provide a well-needed escape from the stresses of the real world. So come join me in this little corner of the world that I've created for myself and for you too. We all like cartoons here. Welcome to Kelby's Cartoon Corner. This week, in celebration of Close Enough Season 2 getting ready to premiere on HBO Max, I wanted to take a look at J.G. Quintel's other animated project, Regular Show. This was the very first show that I covered here on this podcast, and it's quickly risen to the top half of my top 10 animated shows of all time. So I thought it would be really fun to talk about my top 10 favorite foods from Regular Show. There aren't very many, but like not very that are like super memorable, but that's okay. There was enough to make a top 10. And that's what we're here for. If you're new to Regular Show, I highly recommend it, but whether you're new to the show or just ready to get back to the park for old time's sake, let's get started with my top 10 Regular Show foods. All right, there's absolutely no time to waste. Let's get into this list. All right, my number 10 is the Super Primo Deluxe hot dogs. And I would like to just caveat to this by saying that the hot dogs that are the main focus of this episode that these hot dogs like appear in are not the hot dogs that I want to be eating. I just wanted to clarify that up top. In this episode, first of all, this is season 1, episode 6. It's called Meet Your Maker. Benson buys super expensive Primo Deluxe hot dogs for the park barbecue, and he gives them to Mordecai and Rigby, and he says, you can take them outside, put them on the table, but do not light the grill. They're, like, super expensive. Like, he makes it seem he had to ship them overnight. He goes through all this trouble to buy these super expensive hot dogs because they're supposed to be, like, great. He's splurging. He's really excited. He's wearing a fun shirt. Like, Benson's having a great time getting ready for this cookout. So Rigby takes the hot dogs outside and gives them to Mordecai and says, yeah, Benson said we could light the grill. Let's go. And then he like, oh, I meant to look up the, dang it. I meant to look up the like history of this episode because there's like, okay, so back up. Rigby hands Mordecai the hot dogs, says, yes, Benson said we could light the grill. Let's go. Pour all the hot dogs into the grill, and then Rigby squeezes an entire bottle of lighter fluid on top of these hot dogs and then lights the grill on fire. They freak out and push the grill into the river, and then they come back and Mordecai's like, well, that sucks. And Rigby's like, yeah, I guess that's why Benson told me not to light the grill. And then Mordecai gets all mad and he like crosses his arms and he's, what does he say? You can't stop it. It's already in motion. Well, put it out of motion. And then he like crosses his arms and he's like, you ticked me off, which is the script that's in the show now. But there exists somewhere a cut of this episode where Mordecai says, you pissed me off. And I don't know that that actually aired on Cartoon Network and then they pulled it and they had to recut it, or if like that is just like a blooper or something that exists. But it's like, it's the audio. It's like, it's JG's voice, and it is like fully animated into that scene. So I don't know if that's something that aired on Cartoon Network and then it got pulled, but I do know that there does exist an early cut or something. There exists somewhere a scene where Mordecai is folding his arms and he says, you pissed me off, instead of you ticked me off, which is the like Cartoon Network appropriate verbiage. But anyway, I just thought that was fun. And again, I meant to look that up before I started this, but I completely forgot until right this very moment. So, oops. But anyway, Rigby remembers that there's like a freezer in the basement of the house, and they go down there. He's like, surely there's hot dogs down there. We can just pass them off as, we'll just put them in the wrapper and just pretend that these were the hot dogs that Benson ordered, and nobody will be the wiser. We'll have a great time. Because Rigby, in this whole episode, he's like, I could fix it. And he can't. Everything he tries to fix, he makes worse. And they go into the basement and they find like something. Rigby like locks them in the freezer, right? Everything just gets progressively worse. So he locks them in the freezer. He eventually finds Mordecai like freezes to death. He's just like a frozen mass, and Rigby's like dragging him through this freezer that's in the basement of the house, which is apparently like the entire basement of the house is just a freezer, because he's walking for what seems like days and just dragging Mordecai's frozen body behind him. But eventually he finds these sentient hot dogs, which are led by one singular hot dog that is voiced by Tim Curry, and it's beautiful. It's wonderful. This is season one, regular show. It's great. And they make some sort of deal that, like, they can get them, the hot dogs can get Mordecai and Rigby back to the barbecue, like, out of this freezer if they allow these hot dogs to be eaten, because that's, like, their only goal in life is to be eaten. So they get out of the freezer, and the hot dogs double-cross them, and then the only way to defeat them is, like, Rigby grabs a bottle of mustard and squirts one of the hot dogs with mustard, and then they eat each other. And it's kind of, like, it's kind of disturbing if you really think about it for a second, but don't think about it. It's just, they're hot dogs. And, like, I don't love mustard. Like, it's not my favorite condiment, but I do put mustard and ketchup on my hot dog. But, like, just seeing these hot dogs covered in mustard just, like, always makes me want a hot dog. Even if it, like, I don't know. Again, the sentient hot dogs that were in the freezer are not the hot dogs that I want to eat. I want to eat the super deluxe hot dogs that got burnt to a crisp and then tossed in the river, but that's not the focus of this episode. Oh, and then at the end, okay, the very end of this episode, Benson is, like, mad because he's like, what the heck was all that? Like, all these, like, sentient weird hot dogs, like, you ruined the cookout. And he's, like, mad at Mordecai and Rigby. And then Rigby's like, what the heck, Benson? It's your fault because you bought these super deluxe hot dogs. And then Benson's like, oh, crap, you're right. I did buy these hot dogs. And he, like, they totally pass it off as being Benson's fault and not theirs. And I think that's great. All right, number 9 is, okay, it's the Cool Cubed Slurpee, and I would like to issue an apology because I know this is technically not a food, but it is a memorable food-ish item from the run of regular show. So this is from season 4, episode 26, and it's called Cool Cubed, and it's the guys, it's Mordecai, Rigby, Pops, and Thomas, and they go to, like, a 7-Eleven. It's not a 7-Eleven. It's probably like an 8-12 something. I don't know. But they go to some sort of gas station convenience store and they get these giant Slurpees, right? And the thing is, you have to slurp them as fast as you can. And then when you get a brain freeze, your, like, face will freeze for a second. And then they take a picture and it's really funny. And so Mordecai, Rigby, and Pops make really funny faces. And then, like, Thomas drinks a whole Slurpee and then is like, and, like, he makes a stupid face. And they're like, bro, what the heck? What's going on? So he's like, let me try again. And so he goes back in and he's like, what's the coldest, most extreme Slurpee that you have? And he's like, oh, that would be the Cool Cubed. And he gives, like, it's like a bucket, like an ice cream bucket of Slurpee. And he's like, I highly recommend that you buy something else. And then Thomas, like, slams money on the counter and he's like, give it to me. Give me that Slurpee. And so he gives it to him, and it's, like, it's blue, and, like, it's so cold that it's blue. And then he drinks the whole thing, and his face freezes, and they're like, ha, oh, that's a really cool face, and they, like, take a picture, and then he just, like, gets stuck like that. And then they, like, it freezes his brain. I think there's, like, a warning on the side of the cup or something that says, like, do not drink, like, not for human consumption, like, weird, whatever. And so then Mordecai and Rigby have to go on this mission to go inside Thomas's brain and unfreeze it. I swear the personification of this Slurpee in his head was the coffee bean from the episode where they try to buy concert tickets and they just get, like, weird coffee. No, it's not him. That can't be right. There's no way. It may be, like, the same kind of character voice, but it's definitely not, like, the evil Slurpee is not the evil coffee bean from season 1. Like, that's not what that is. Okay, all right. I just thought. Also, inside Thomas's head, he's like his subconscious is a literal goat. Like, his character is drawn as a goat, but he, like, walks on two legs and he's, like, a person version of a goat, right? Because he walks on two legs and he, like, has hands and whatever, but he's just supposed to be a goat because he has horns. But then his actual, like, brain, his subconscious, is like a literal goat. He's, like, 2 feet tall and he doesn't have clothes. He's like a literal goat, and I just think that's really fun. So number 9, Cool Cubed Slurpee. Not technically a food, but, like, we'll argue that this is a memorable food from regular show. All right, number 8 is the Death Sandwich. This is season 4, episode 13, Sandwich of Death. The Death Sandwich is basically just a meatball sub with ham on it, but you will die if you eat the sandwich incorrectly, as we learn when Benson accidentally eats the Death Sandwich and then, like, proceeds to slowly die over the course of the rest of this episode. He, like, I don't know, man, there's like a list of symptoms, there's like a list of things that happen if you eat the sandwich incorrectly, but like, I don't understand, I don't know why. I didn't watch any of these episodes before I started this. I think there's some sort of lore behind why the Death Sandwich will kill you if you don't eat it right. It probably has something to do with Death Kwon Do, but again, I don't remember. But anyway, the only cure for the Death Sandwich is the Sandwich of Health, which is stored like at the, like, in this dojo at the top of a mountain, and they have to do all this. They have to run through this dojo, and they, like, okay, they come into this room, right? And on one side of the room is Mordecai, Rigby, Benson, and the sensei dude. And then on the other side is, like, a group of people that are supposed to be guarding the Sandwich of Health, right? They have to go through these different, like, chambers to complete different tasks so that they can get into the room that holds the Sandwich of Health, right? So they're stepping across, and it's, like, this pit of logs or whatever, and one guy from the opposite side, like, steps on something, and then he falls, and he, like, dies. And then the sensei dude is like, oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you, you have to say Step of Death every step that you take through this room, or you will die. And then everybody's like, okay, that was probably good to know before we started doing this. And so then they, like, they run across, and they're like, Step of Death, Step of Death, Step of Death, as they run. It's very fun. But the only way to be able to eat the Sandwich of Death is that you must be wearing cut-off jean shorts and a mullet. And that is the proper way to eat the Sandwich of Death. Like, if you're not doing that, that's why Benson died. Or almost died. Kind of died. It's non-canon, but, like, he almost died. And that was why. Was because he didn't have the right, he didn't have cut-off jorts and a mullet. Also wanted to shout out real quick that there is a Binging with Babish episode where he makes the Sandwich of Death, and it's just, again, it's just like a meatball sub with ham on it, but, like, you know, you gotta wear your jean shorts and your mullet or else you die. Really, really early on when I was doing this pod, especially with regular show, because there's so many just, like, iconic foods from this show, I was shouting out a lot of Binging with Babish episodes. I watch him all the time, but also he just makes food from shows that I happen to watch. And regular show, every time he reaches a subscriber milestone, like another, like, million subscribers or whatever, he'll do a special regular show episode. I don't remember what the Death Sandwich, like, what the milestone was that he hit when he did that, but it's really fun. I appreciate his content. So shout out, go follow him on YouTube. All right, number 7 is Double Glazed Apple Fritters. This is season 3, episode 38, Sugar Rush. This is a great episode all around. I love it so much. this episode starts with Benson coming in to the kitchen telling Mordecai and Rigby that Pops thinks that they are ready for more responsibility, so he is going to let them get the donuts for the morning meeting. And then he starts out by saying, I want a whole wheat donut. And they're like, okay. What does he say? He says he wants a whole wheat donut, and then he says, don't pass the donuts out at the meeting. He says, I want a whole wheat donut. And then Rigby's like, you mean a bagel? And he's like, no, I want a whole wheat donut. You can pick the rest, I don't care. And then they're like, okay. And he's like, now repeat back to me what I just said. You said, don't pass them out of the meeting. You said, get the donuts and don't pass them out of the meeting. Oh, and you want a whole wheat donut. Oh, good. Maybe you are ready for more responsibility. And then they go to the donut shop. They're, like, picking out all the donuts and whatever. And then Mordecai looks behind the counter, and he sees this tray of these apple fritters. And he's like, whoa, what are those? And then the dude that's working at the donut shop for some reason has a Jamaican accent. And I don't know why, but it's fun. And he says that the apple fritters were double glazed by mistake. And then they look at each other and they get, like, big anime eyes. And they're like, double glazed. And then they're like, that's, yeah, we want those. And he's like, oh, no, I gotta throw those out because they're not fit for human consumption. And then Mordecai says, I think he says, we'll give you like $10 for it. And he's like, oh, you want those fajita to go? That was, nope, sorry. That was borderline, nope. That was not a good accent. But he said, he asks if they want him fajita to go. And then they get him and they bring him back to the house. And they set him in the kitchen. And Mordecai's like, oh man, that job was so easy. And then they leave the room to go play video games or whatever. Because apparently Benson allotted them like 8 full hours to go get these donuts. Like it was going to take, honestly... That's probably a good idea. But also, they didn't need 8 full hours to go get these donuts. So they have time to kill. So they go into the living room and they start playing video games. And then they come back in and they see Pops has gotten into the donuts. And they're like, oh, crap. Did you eat all the donuts? And he's like, yes, I did. What does he say? He says, they say, oh, Pops, you didn't eat the donuts, did you? And he's like, oh, I did eat the donuts. They were absolutely fritillating. And then he like licks all of his fingers. And they're like, oh, those were for the morning meeting. And then he's like, oh, no, I hope I haven't caused you too much trouble. And then he, like, Pops goes, like, full, like, sugar rush mode. And he, like, shakes really hard. They, like, take him upstairs. And he says something. And then he's, like, talking really fast. And then he goes, I like what you've done with your room, Mordecai and Rigby. And he, like, again, is shaking. And they, like, hold his arms to his sides. And he's just, like, buzzing. So they're like, we gotta tire him out. So they, like, make him run, like, 8 miles around the park and do a bunch of jumping jacks and crap. And he just keeps going faster. And they're like, okay, this isn't working. And so they go to Skips. And Skips is like, oh, what he needs is more sugar. Like, if you eat more, then you'll just crash. And they're like, are you sure? And he's like, yeah, for sure. That's, yeah, that'll work. And so he eats more sugar, and then Pops like vibrates onto a new plane of existence because he's moving so fast. And so they're like, well, crap, that didn't work. And so then they also have to eat like a bunch of double glazed fritters so that they can also like buzz into this new plane of existence. And Skips just keeps insisting that what they need is more sugar, so they keep eating more of these donuts. And then at the very end, they like vibrate so fast that they like everything is just like a blur to them because they're moving so quickly. And then they get to the end, and the only thing that's left is Benson's whole wheat donut in the bottom of the box. And they're like, oh, that's it. We need to, like, cut the sugar with something. So they, like, ration it out, and they break it into pieces, and then they finally, like, they finally come back, and they are, like, zooming to the house to, like, get ready for this morning meeting. And then they set the box down on the steps, and then Rigby's like, we're out of donuts! And so they, like, they have to zoom back to the donut shop, and they, like, break in, and they take, like, literally all of the donuts, and then they just, like, throw $20 on the counter, and they zoom out. And then they're, like, running back to the house, and then Rigby, like, trips and pours all the donuts into the box that's already there, and then they eat the rest of Benson's whole wheat donut, and then the, like, they come back, and they're all, like, ready to crash from being on a sugar high for so long. And Benson's like, I got donuts, because I'm a cool boss who does cool things. And then he, like, opens the box, and everybody, Mordecai, Rigby, Skips, and Pops are all, like, bleh, like, they don't want any more sugar. And so, Muscle Man is like, oh, more for me. And so he like eats the whole box. And then Benson's like, where is my whole wheat donut? Like, and it just, I think that's how the episode ends. But like, they had the whole wheat donut. It just, they ate it. It's not, they did get it. They just, they had to eat it because they got sugar high. Okay. All right. but one of the things about these double glazed fritters is that they're so shiny you can see your reflection in them. And that, ooh, that's some good glaze, man. I like apple fritters. Like, if I had to choose, like, top 10 pastries or something, I don't know why I'd ever be forced to do something like that. But, like, if I had to choose top 10 pastries or, like, donut shop confectionery or anything like that, I don't think that apple fritters would be, like, really high up there on my list. However, these look immaculate. So I will forever include these on my list. Also, there is a Binging with Babish episode where he does make the double glazed fritters, and they look good, great, marvelous. Love it. All right, number 6. So let me tell you the story before I tell you what my number 6 is. I made a why am I not able to, like, think of words today? What the heck's going on? I made a list at work of just like 10 regular show foods. It wasn't necessarily my top 10. It was just 10 foods that I could think of right off the top of my head. And one of the things that I wrote, I was just like free writing, like no thought, just any food that I could think of that was featured in regular show. Like the time that Mordecai and Rigby came in eating chimichangas, that one time that Rigby said pickles, like literally any time a food was mentioned, I listed it on this list. And then I went back through and I narrowed it down to 10. But the one thing that I wrote down, just like absentmindedly not thinking, I said titty coffee. And like, I hope if you've seen the show, okay, if you have not seen the show, this is gonna sound real strange, but like let me just explain to you this episode and why I chose to continue to call it titty coffee, because I have no other words. So this is season 1, episode 4. Again, very early on in the show. This episode is called Caffeinated Concert Tickets. The guys are trying to buy concert tickets to see this band Fist Pump, right? And by the time they actually get the money to get these tickets, they get in line and the only tickets that are left are VIP, which are more than what they have saved. So they're like, aw crap. So they walk away from the box office and they're like, well, I guess we're just not gonna see this concert. And as they're walking away, they meet a super shady businessman with this giant coffee bean who is only wearing tidy whitey underwear and has really weird coffee nipples. And I don't have any other way to explain it to you. It's just a coffee bean wearing underwear with weird nipples. Like they drew the nipples on there, right? It's just, it's a weird design idea. So they're presented with this contract that literally, like, okay, first, all this coffee bean says is coffee, just in like coffee, 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 coffee. And like, he presents them with this contract that also only says coffee on it. It says coffee like a million times. And so they sign this contract and they're like, yes, got it. Like the dude and the coffee bean say that they will help Mordecai and Rigby get like energy to do more overtime or something to earn this money. And like, I think that's it. I don't think they specify that they also want concert tickets, but that was like in the contract when they signed it, was that like they would provide Mordecai and Rigby with energy if they would then work all the overtime to be able to afford 4 concert tickets so that they could all go to the concert together. But that was not explicitly stated. And again, the contract just says coffee over and over again. So they have no idea what they're signing up for. So they ask Benson to give them all this overtime and whatever, and like anytime they would start to, they literally work for like 3 days straight, and anytime they would even start to get tired, this coffee bean would just like coffee and just like spew coffee from its weird nipples. That, and it's just, it's a weird visual, man. It's real weird. But this coffee has got to have some sort of supernatural properties to it, because they would then like, their eyes would go zick, and they would just they would get all this energy to work all this overtime and whatever. And I wrote down that titty coffee seems to give them lots of energy, and honestly, I need that in my life. Like, Duncan recently came out with this coffee that's supposed to be like double charged or whatever, like hot, like not like cold brew coffee, but like hot coffee with like 20% more caffeine or whatever. And let me tell you, I have never felt so alive than the first time that I had a small sip of that coffee. It's marvelous. And I now, I'm just continuing to feed into this crippling caffeine addiction that I have. But if I could have some regular show titty coffee, I feel like I'd be good to go. And I'm going to move on now, because I'm going to keep saying titty coffee over and over again until someone stops me, which is me. I'm stopping me. All right, so I had 2 drinks on here, and it was Slurpee and coffee. So now we're done with drinks, and I will no longer have to argue with anyone about how memorable these drinks are and why they should be considered top 10 foods of regular show. So we're going to move on. Number 5, I have Farm Fresh Chocolate Cake, and this is from the birthday song contest episode. This is season 6, episode 17, Happy Birthday Song Contest. In this episode, Mordecai and Rigby just want cake. That's the only thing that they want. But there's been a bakery cartel that's moved into town, and they've raised the cake prices, so you can't get like a decent slice of cake anywhere in this town. So Farmer Jimmy the guy who hosted the Thanksgiving song contest is now hosting a birthday song contest, and the winner gets a year's supply of Farm Fresh birthday cakes. And that's it. That's the whole plot. So Mordecai and Rigby decide that they're going to go to this contest. They're going to enter their song. And the way that this episode is structured is really fun, because they write this song and they get it in one shot. Like, they get the perfect song in one shot. And then they continue to sing it through the rest of this episode, but every time they sing it, we don't hear it. Like, something's like someone's running a vacuum, or like someone's screaming over them or something, so we don't actually hear them sing it until the very end of the episode. But it's very fun. And again, would just like to say that I am here for petitioning that this song take over the actual Happy Birthday song. I am so here for this version, like Mordecai and Rigby's version of the Happy Birthday song. I'm so here for it. I love it so much. When I released the very first episode of this, it was like 3 months before, not 3 months, it was like 2 weeks before my birthday. And I was like, hey, if anybody wanted to like figure this song out and like sing it to me on my birthday, that would be really cool. And it didn't happen, but that's fine. Like, that's all right. It's just, I really like that song. And I really like the cake in this episode, man. Okay, so they win this cake, right? Like, obviously Mordecai and Rigby win the song contest. And then at the end of the episode, the farmer guy comes out and he's like, all right, bring in the lump sum. And they're like, lump sum? And they get like a truckload of all these cakes. Like, and that's it. They just go home with like a truckload of cake. Like, they don't get like a cake every day for the rest of the year or whatever. It's just like, nah, you get 365 Farm Fresh birthday cakes. But again, they look yum. I'm a sucker for cake anyway, but like, also, those look real good. All right, number four, the Every Meat Burrito. This is season 5, episode 4, titled Every Meat Burrito. This is okay, when I was typing this like 15 minutes ago, the only thing that I kept chanting was Jim Bros Burritos, Jim Bros Burritos. And it's the name of the burrito stand that is having these Every Meat Burritos. And like, I definitely talked about this when I first covered regular show, like the show as a whole. I talked about the Every Meat Burrito, but it just seems like it's borderline, like it's something that would either be really, really good or really, really gross. Like, there is no in between. Like, it would either be something that would be like the best, because like the meats that they list that go into this burrito, man, are just like gross. It's like python, raven, crow, like all these like weird animals that you would never think to eat. And they like, in the commercial, they just like grind them all up in a meat grinder and then put them in this burrito. And it like, that seems real gross, because there is a Binging with Babish episode. I think it's like his millionth subscriber milestone or whatever. And he says, we're going to make the Every Meat Burrito. So he goes to this like specialty meat store somewhere in New York City. And he buys like buffalo, python, like all these weird kangaroo. He buys all these meats, right? And then he thaws them out in his bathtub. And he does exactly what they do in the show. He grinds them all up into like a meatball consistency. And then he just like browns it like ground beef, and then seasons it like you would a regular burrito, and then puts it in a tortilla brain, and then he eats it. And he's like, this is really gross, because it's with all these different kinds of meats that are meant to be cooked at different temperatures and like seasoned with different things to really bring out their flavor. And then you just grind them all up into a paste and put them in this burrito, and it's gross. And in the show, Rigby even says that it tastes like chicken. So like, that's what I imagine. That's honestly what I imagine. It would just be really gamey and gross. Like venison. I don't like venison. It's not, ugh. Like, and maybe I haven't had, like, the only way that I've ever had it is just like straight, like jerky. So maybe that's part of it. I feel like maybe if I had like a deer steak or something, it would be different. Or like ground, like I don't like make like ground beef or something. I don't know. But just like the way that I've had it is no bueno. It tastes real gamey. But anyway, Every Meat Burrito, definitely, like the concept of that is really cool. Like, conceptually, that would be a really neat thing, but the way that it's executed in the show, maybe not. But like, concept, great. Yes, here for it. All right, number three is the Pork Picnic Sandwich, and this is, yo, this is season 7, episode 34. Like, this happens so late in the series, and I just didn't remember it happening that late. So this is a sandwich that Cheezers debuts for VIP members, and it's baked beans, coleslaw, and three different types of pulled pork. And it looks like it's between plain white sandwich bread, which is not the move because that would disintegrate in a heartbeat, but that sandwich still makes my mouth water, man. Like, that looks so good. Like, just the best sandwich that you could ever have. Like, that's the kind of something that would be at a food truck or something at, like, a state fair or, like, on the side of the highway driving through somewhere in the South and just, like, it just sounds so good. I don't know what three different types of pulled pork means exactly. Is it, like, marinated three different ways? Is it, like, three different, like, is it, like, pork shoulder and pork butt? Like, is it three different cuts of pulled pork, or is it three different marinades? Is it three different, like, because, you know, different regions have different ways that they marinate and different ways that they smoke the pulled pork. It just depends on where you are. I'm just very curious about the logistics of this. This is one that Babish has not done, and I look forward to whatever his next, like, subscriber milestone is, and hoping that maybe this is the one that he's going to do, because, again, very curious about what three different types of pulled pork means. So anyway, this is a sandwich that Cheezers debuts for VIP members only, but the only way to be a VIP is to either be an astronaut or do a bunch of really tedious tasks to get, like, access. So the guys have to do all these really stupid things, like clean the lobby, take out the trash, defeat the giant alien that's in the basement, and then they do end up doing all that, and then they become VIP members, and they get that sandwich. And I feel like, at the end, they're like, yes, this was totally worth it, but, like, is it, though? Because, like, honestly, like, I would do all of those things up until fighting the alien monster in the basement to get that sandwich. Yes, let me clean this lobby and take out this trash and then give me that sandwich. Because that, again, conceptually, that's one of the few things that, like, conceptually looks really good from, like, just, again, conceptually, from just, like, looking at it, seems like it would be a really good sandwich. And then it seems like it would translate really well into real life versus the every meat burrito, where it's just a bunch of stuff that's ground up into, like, a paste and then you shove it in to a tortilla. Like, this seems like something that would actually translate really well into maybe not, like, not a fast food type of sandwich, but definitely, like, a food truck or, like, at a fair or something like that. Definitely, like, would be top tier fair food for sure. All right, number two is the Ultimatum, and this is another one that, like, would not necessarily be a good fast food thing, but, like, a food truck or something, because in the show, it actually is, it's from a food truck, so I think that would translate really well, like, into the real world. I think that, well, I mean, maybe not, it's a little bit outlandish, but it's cool. Like, it feels like a fair food, okay? So this is season 3, episode 21, The Best Burger in the World. Also, every time that I look at this and I type The Best Burger in the World, I can only think of the best VHS in the world, that, like, golden VHS tape that Mordecai and Rigby rented from the store, and, like, the weird little goblin dude that lives in the basement took it. And they had to, like, convince him that he had to take it back to the store. And then he got his own little card. And he runs through the store. And he, like, looks at all the VHS tapes. And then he comes back to the counter. And the guy's like, so what do you want to rent? And he's like, I would like the best VHS in the world, please. And he's got these really weird fingernails. Ugh. But anyway, The Best Burger in the World, The Best VHS in the World. We're full of all the regular show call-outs today. So this is a special kind of sandwich that comes from a food truck. It only comes around once a century, and there's only one allowed per customer. And it is a cheeseburger inside a cheeseburger with two burgers for buns with lots of cheese and Himalayan ketchup. And I, for some reason, in my head, I also thought that it was, like, deep fried, which it might be, but it did not, I didn't watch the episode, I just looked on the wiki page, and according to the wiki page, it didn't say anything about it being deep fried, but I thought that it was deep fried, but perhaps it is not. I don't know. But that is what elevates it to fair food level to me, is that if it was a burger inside of a burger with burgers for buns and then deep fried, that would be ideal fair food. Anything that's deep fried is automatically a fair food for me. There is also a Binging with Babish episode where he makes the Ultimatum, and it, like, it, okay, maybe it's something that is better in, like cartoon form, because when he makes it, it's big. It's very thick. It would be like something that you would split with somebody, or like definitely not something that you want to be like chomping down while you're walking around Disney World or something. Like, absolutely not. It is way too thick. You got to sit down. You're going to probably need a nap after you get done. It's just a lot of meat and carb. But either way, it's really, like, again, conceptually, really cool. Really like this idea. Just, like, may not translate very well into the real world. All right. Number one, best food, in my opinion, from regular show. I'm trying really hard to hype it up because I feel like I'm going to say it and then everybody's going to be like, oh, okay. But, like, let me tell you, and then let me defend myself about why this is the best. It is the grilled cheese deluxe from Cheezers, all right? Now, let me defend myself. This is season 1, episode 7, titled The Grilled Cheese Deluxe. And it seems a bit anticlimactic, but it really is the very best regular show food. Because, let me tell you, a lot of really great cartoons or animated, like, shows in general have really memorable foods or restaurants that are associated with them, alright? SpongeBob, Krusty Krab, Krabby Patty, Danny Phantom, The Nasty Burger, Steven Universe, The Big Donut, and Cookie Cats, Avatar, Legend of Korra, Tea. Again, not technically a food, but memorable. Tell me when you think of Avatar The Last Airbender that you don't, at least somewhere in your mind, also associate it with tea, all right? Like Jasmine Tea, the Jasmine Dragon. Jimmy Neutron, the candy bar, / the weird little candies that Jimmy makes that everybody wanted to try when they were a kid but never got a chance to. The Fairly Odd Parents, the cake and bacon. Like, the Family Guy, the clam. Suddenly ran out of, like, any other, Gravity Falls, they have the diner that's made out of the old train car. Amphibia, they have the, okay, hello? I just lost my train of thought. Amphibia, they have Stumpy's Restaurant. Like, that's the only, that's it, there it is. Like, okay, memorable foods, memorable restaurant, fast food chains associated with great cartoons, all right? And I just think, in general, that Cheezers is a wicked cool concept, and someone should definitely jump on a fast food grilled cheese restaurant immediately, because I would be there all the time, every day. It's just, it's so neat. It's a neat idea, and it would be so simple, you know? You could just have your, like, it would be like a Subway kind of a thing, is what I imagine. And you could, like, build your own grilled cheese. I'm thinking grilled cheese quesadillas paninis, like hot sandwiches that you could, like, press or something. I don't even know. Like, honestly, if nobody else takes the idea to make Cheezers a real restaurant, let me do it, because I've got ideas. Again, there's a Binging with Babish episode where he makes the grilled cheese deluxe, and he, like, really gets into it, like, tries to figure out the different, like, flavor profiles of cheese and, like, how they would melt based on the, like, moisture content of the cheese. Like, he really gets into it, and he comes up with a really good, I don't remember what the mixture of cheeses is that he ends up deciding is the best, but it's really good to watch. It's fun to watch him do it, but then also you're like, yes, it just gives you ideas of, like, how you could also make a really great grilled cheese. And again, I mentioned this in the original, I know I've mentioned it before, but I don't know when it was that I mentioned this, but once upon a time, before the pandemic, we used to host a game night once a month, and I insist on feeding anyone that comes into our house. Like, I don't care if we just order pizza, but, like, if you come in here, you're going to be eating. So one of the very first things that we ever did as a group was, like, build your own grilled cheese night. And I went full out. I bought, like, 3 different types of bread, 573 different types of cheeses. It was insane, right? And then for the next, like, month, all we ate was grilled cheese, because we just had so much cheese and bread in our fridge that that's all that we had to eat was grilled cheese. But let me tell you, I got real good at making a bomb grilled cheese. I can, like, if you put 17 pieces of cheese on that bee, I can melt it and not let the bread burn. watch. Okay, like tomorrow when I go make a grilled cheese, it's gonna like burn the house down. Now that I've said that, I've been way too cocky. But that was one of the very first things that we did, and it continues to be one of the most fun things that we do as a group. I don't go that extreme anymore. Like, let me just buy some white bread, because nobody cares about what, like, I care. I care about what kind of bread my sandwich is on, but nobody else really cares. So, like, slap that shit on some white bread and just throw it on the griddle. I don't care. But, like, let me get some white bread. Let me get some super thin, like, provolone, mozzarella, cheddar, like, just, and stack it. Stack it real thick in between them breads. And I feel like at one point I let everybody choose whether or not they wanted butter or mayo as their, like, their whatever. I don't know what it does to, like, make the bread crispy, but, like, do you want butter or mayonnaise? And everybody was like, mayonnaise? Like, I don't know, man. Like, I always made them with butter, but I thought that making it with mayo would, like, affect the flavor profile a little bit more. And again, thought that everybody gave way more of a shit about cheese and bread than they actually did, because I care. I care what it tastes like, but hardly any, like, everybody else is like, yeah, just throw a piece of all the cheese on there. I don't even care what it tastes like. I just want it to be gooey. But then when you get that cheese pull, man, when you cut that grilled cheese that's got like 8 pieces of cheese in it, and you get that good pull where it like stretches out for like a foot before it finally snaps, that's when you know you've made a really good grilled cheese. It's marvelous. So there's like 5 of us, right? 5 of us? Yeah. And like 4 out of the 5 of us are like, give me all the cheese. Give me all the cheese. And then one of us is like, can I just have like some Kraft slices on some white bread? Because I really, like, he literally gives zero bothers about any. He's like, let me just get a plain, like, he literally, like, listen. Kyle, I don't know if you're listening to this, but I'm gonna call you out real hard. Like, he... We were literally having a game night, and I'm, like, throwing all these cheeses in this bread, right? And then all of a sudden, he's just like, what happened to, like, a simple grilled cheese? Like, I just want one singular slice of Kraft cheese slice in between some white bread. And I was like, okay, all right. Like, that's fine. If that's what you want, that's totally fine. But also, live a little bit, man. Just eat the cheese. That's what I bought it for. Whatever. All right. I miss game night. I miss it so much. I don't know. Honestly, doing this now, I have no idea where a fun game night would fit into my schedule between working a full-time job and trying to get this podcast off the ground. I don't know where I would fit a game night in, but, you know, theoretically, I would love to be doing that again. I'll make it work. I'll make time. All right, I guess that's really all I had to say about grilled cheese. I said a lot more about grilled cheese than I did anything else, but I knew that was going to happen because that's why it's my number one, because I have good memories, good things associated with grilled cheese. And then to also have like an entire restaurant that's devoted to grilled cheese? Holy crap, man, that would be so good. Must eat grilled cheese with pickle. Like in regular show, they serve the grilled cheese with a toothpick on the top with an olive on it. And like, that's a no-go for me, man. I don't like olives, but I'll eat the crap out of some pickles. Like, give me all the pickles with my grilled cheese, but not olives. Mm-mm, that's not for me. All right, wanted to run real quick through some honorable mention type foods. Definitely honorable mention shout out goes to Pops's Money, because his money is just lollipops and they're butterscotch ripple. Honestly, when I was a kid, that was my favorite Dum Dum flavor, was butterscotch. Like, butterscotch and root beer, which are like the two most sickly sweet versions of Dum Dums. But like, Pops's Money is like, yeah, it's butterscotch flavor, and it looks really fun and good. Also shout out to the whole wheat donut from the Sugar Rush episode. I can't imagine what that, like, that's literally a bagel, right? Like, it can't be anything else. It's gotta just be a bagel, but Benson insists that it's a whole wheat donut, so I don't know what that means. The Excellent Challenge, season 3, episode 17, is a, like, an omelet made of 12 eggs with peppers and mushrooms, chili, cheese, 2 biscuits, and a fruit bowl. And there definitely is a Binging with Babish episode where he makes it, but he definitely does not eat it. The whole thing is, if you can eat it in under an hour, then it's free. But nobody's ever done it until Rigby attempts to do it, but he gets 3 bites in, and then he remembers that he's allergic to eggs, so then he dies. He, like, goes into a coma, and he almost... There is a lot of, like... very casual, almost death, especially very early on in the show. I did not realize that until just now. They were getting us ready for the end, man. Like, say goodbye to all your favorite characters because your absolute favorite character is about to, like, kamikaze himself into the sun to save everyone else. Big spoilers. All right, another shout out to the Mississippi Queen, which is from the episode Weekend at Benson's, and I don't remember, I didn't write it down, I just thought it was fun. Don't remember what's in it, but, like, they, what happens? Oh, Benson gets mad and he falls, he, like, is trying to change a light bulb, right, and Mordecai and Rigby aren't holding the ladder, so he falls off, gets knocked unconscious, but Benson is supposed to have a date that weekend where he's supposed to go to this party with his girl, so they, like, Weekend at Bernie him, so... and they make him seem like he's awake, but he's not. He's just wearing sunglasses. And then he gets into this, like, what am I trying to say? He gets into this man off, I don't even know what to call it, with this other dude who's also trying to impress this girl. And they're like eating the spiciest things that they can think of, right? And so eventually they make this, like Benson ends up winning or something. And he like makes this drink that is like a celebratory thing. And it's like hot sauce, Carolina Reaper peppers, like all these weird, there's like a shrimp in there somewhere, like, and then the little like cocktail umbrella that's like tink, and no, I don't think it does. For some reason I thought they like put it in there and it just went shh and just dissolved, but that's not what happens. And that's the thing that like finally brings Benson out of his coma, is like the like singeing of his nose hairs when he inhales this really spicy drink or whatever it is. But then they, oh no, you know what it is, they like, they, he's like, I'll drink it, but Mordecai and Rigby have to drink it with me, like that's the whole thing. So they drink it and it's like it's like he drinks it and he's like, oh, you know what, this isn't that bad. And then it like, they zone out and they just like float the rest of the way through this party while like everything is on fire around them, like they're just having this weird out of body experience because this thing is so spicy and they can't like undo it. And so they're just like floating, like when you get super high and you just like float through life. Like that's what it feels like. Like it was so spicy that they just got high. Great, great, great. We love that. And then last but not least, special shout out to Chicken Wings, which make various multiple appearances through the run of the show. For some reason, chicken wings are the way that, like, they drink soda, right? And that is usually in, like, a kid's cartoon, that's supposed to be the thing that's supposed to be, like, beer or whatever, right? They drink soda, but only when they eat chicken wings does Benson ever get drunk, and I don't understand why. Like, y'all have soda. Like, they've been drinking, Benson's got this soda in the attic that he's had since the 80s, the Radicola, like, he's had that up there for years, and that can't be the thing that gets him drunk. It has to be chicken wings for some reason. I don't know where they got this idea. Honestly, I'm here for it. I just, like, I don't know. For some reason, the chicken wings in this show just are, like top tier, like the most, like, beautiful, beautiful orange that you would ever want your buffalo sauce to be. It's beautiful. It's a wonderful color. And, like, I just wanted to give a special shout out to Wings because, I don't know if it's because of regular show, but I am currently, this coming weekend will be weekend number 6 that I have had like chicken wings from some sort of fast food place, either Wingstop or Buffalo Wild Wings. And I'm on this kick, man, where like all I want is chicken wings. That's it. I want all the food to hurt me. I need it like as spicy as I can handle it without dying or like hiccuping, which is like right around habanero level. But like, I just need all my food to hurt me right now. I don't know what that is, but, like, I really appreciate spicy food right now. I'm just in that mode where I need all the spice. Like, give me all the peppers, all the Tabasco, all of it. I just need it. I need it up here. Like, hot, hot. But I just wanted to shout out Chicken Wings because I think that's really... One, that's arguably one of the most iconic regular show foods, and maybe that should have made it onto my top 10 list, but though that, like, chicken wings is not something that's exclusive to regular show in the same way that the death sandwich or the double glazed apple fritters are, like, iconic and synonymous with regular show. Like, I understand chicken wings are a big part of the show, but they're not, like, they're not exclusive to regular show. Like, anybody could be eating chicken wings, but not everybody could be eating the every meat burrito. Like, tell me any other show that you've ever watched that's come up with a concept as unique as the every meat burrito. Just, I'd love to hear it. So that's it. That's my top 10 regular food show. I don't know what the heck is going on, man. I thought I drank enough coffee before I started this, but maybe I didn't. It's also 3 a.m., so that could probably be part of it. Oh boy, 3 a.m. That's all I had to say about regular show foods. I could probably, honestly, I expected myself to throw out a lot more references as I worked through this, but they came out as I was typing it, so apparently I should have been recording audio while I was also typing, because that was where all the references were shooting out of me. But, like, honestly, like, regular show is the kind of show, it's becoming, for me at least, where if you named any iconic food, I could tell you what's happening in that episode around it. Like, that's where it's getting for me. I have probably seen this show all the way through, like, I mean, pilot through, well, not the pilot, because that's different, but, like, episode one all the way through the end, like, probably close to 10 times, if not more. I just keep watching it over and over again. It's so funny, and I don't know what it is, honestly. I can't pinpoint, like, what, because it starts out so innocent, right? It just starts out as these two slacker guys working at this park trying to make money, and it slowly morphs into this, like, narrative of these employees, these co-workers becoming a family together, and it's beautiful, and I love it. It's so, and it takes place over so long that you almost, like, don't, like, you don't, like, from episode to episode, you don't notice it happening, but then if you go from, like, see, if you jump from season one to season, like, four, you can sense that something is, like, different. You can sense that their dynamic is changing and morphing, and that's the way that it should be. As you get to know people, as you get to, like, working with people for years and years, your relationship, your dynamic should evolve. And I just think that this is, like, top tier show for me. And I think, just because I was at the ideal age to be watching this, the first time that I watched it all the way through. Like, the first time I watched it all the way through, I think I had to be, like, 22 or 23, right? And at the beginning of the show, Mordecai and Rigby are 22. And I just think that was, like, the ideal age to be watching that show. Like, my brother is 19, and I keep trying to tell him that he needs to rewatch this show all the way through, because I really think that he would like it. Like, it's the kind of thing, you don't think that it's, like, it doesn't follow a hard narrative, right, until season eight, and you don't think that, you think that because it's episodic like that, that you're not getting, like, you could just skip around and you could just watch whatever you want, and that's true, you can, but if you do that, you're gonna miss out on a lot of, like, Easter eggs and, like, little callbacks and stuff like that as you watch further. Like, you could watch the exit 9B special, right? Or 4B, what is it? When they're building the interstate, whatever. You can watch that episode, and it works just fine. Like, if you've seen, you know, the couple of episodes building up to it or whatever, like, you can see that episode, and it works just fine. But you don't know who Garrick Bobby Ferguson is. You don't understand the sentient hot dogs. You don't know who Gary is when he comes, and the time babies. Like, they just, there's all these characters and stuff that you don't know if you're just skipping around and you're just watching. So you don't think that it's anything that's building into anything, but then as you watch it, you see that it is, and then you get to the end, and it all culminates in this one giant epic final battle where everybody is fighting together, and it's like, we gotta save the world, and it's up to this one character, but it's up to all of us, because we're all a family, and we're all in this together, because we've created a life together in the space dome, but also as a park, as a workforce together. We've created this life for ourselves. And I just, like, again, top tier for me. So, definitely check this show out if you haven't already. And also, make sure to check out Close Enough on HBO Max, because whatever, all the things that regular show couldn't get away with because it was on a network for children are all the things that Close Enough is doing. Like, Close Enough is, I will continue to say it, Close Enough is regular show for like adults. like you can enjoy regular show as an adult or as a kid, like, because it's fun, it's for everybody, but Close Enough is definitely for adults, and it's great. I'm so excited for season two. I can't wait. We got 5 days until this this season gets released, and then I have 2 days to produce an episode and get it up for y'all to hopefully be able to hear it. So I'm a stop ranting about regular show, and I'm gonna toss me over into an outro. I just wanted to have some sort of closing thought before I went into the outro. So here we go. This, of course, was just my list, and these are what I think are some of the best foods and, like, memorable foods of the show. But if you have foods that you think that I missed, or if you want to hit me up with your own top 10 regular show foods, I would love to hear from you. Hit me up on Twitter, @Kelby_cartoons. If this is your first episode of mine, thanks for checking it out. I try to cover a variety of animated shows, both new and old, so make sure to check out previous episodes to find your favorite show. And if you don't see it, keep checking back. I upload almost every Saturday with a new show to talk about. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter. I've been live tweeting my reactions as I watch the shows that I cover, and I'm definitely going to be live tweeting as I watch season 2 of Close Enough when it drops this week, so make sure to follow along for that. Also, follow me on Facebook. Just search Kelby's Cartoon Corner. And please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. I'll be back next week with another animated world for us to escape into together. Until then, happy Saturday, or whatever day it is, whenever you're listening. Go eat some chicken wings this weekend, man.